a Monday, especially a day that some folks may actually have off today, is a wonderful opportunity to make art, look at art, view art, think about art, watch movies about art, make art with popcorn. I have so many art-related ideas. Annie Dugan, good morning there, sunshine.
Good morning, Lisa. If art with popcorn, it would not get past me. It would all go into my mouth.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you there, but okay. Yep. Art with the little burn bits that you leave
there
in the bowl and the unpopped
there
kernels. Yeah. All right. Well, I've thought about it. I don't know what in the world, weird things occur to me in the morning when I'm here by myself and it's early and before I've had a lot of coffee, and I thought about, your work as a curator and your work as a teacher of art and Janaki's work, of course, as a farmer. And I went seed art. Your boys will embrace seed art.
Seed art, yes. In fact, for the Free Range Film Festival poster a few years ago, I made a seed art poster.
Well, that's the perfect way for them to incorporate the things that they've been taught from both their parents.
Yes, seed art is a wonderful thing that we can all of us Northern Minnesotans can get behind for sure.
I think so.
Yes.
I think
well,
so.
Today I want to focus. It's a pretty special day that we get to celebrate Martin Luther King and all the other voices that have continued our struggle toward racial equity that we are still on the path towards. And in thinking about that and thinking about, what to have folks think about and focus on as we celebrate today and think and reflect on today, I was thinking about the art of the past year that has been the most resonant and maybe the most important. And I think about the artwork surrounding and that came out of and from and during the murder of George Floyd. And I think of, this was a time when most all of our galleries were closed, all of the ways of seeing art in person was limited. And the kind of public art that came out of that moment is really still important. People are still going to 38th and Chicago Avenue to reflect on, this sickness in our society and also celebrate the voices that are trying to change that.
Annie, have you actually been down there to see that artwork? I guess I haven't gotten down.
I haven't.
I don't think I've gotten down to the cities yet for anything.
I haven't gone down to the cities, and I think that is. I've seen plenty of images. I've seen a lot of folks, who post about going down there.
Right.
And certainly, I think it's such an important thing because it was this public piece, this public mural. The mural was done in the space of 12 hours. So I'm talking about that really iconic mural of George Floyd on that, the side of the Whole Foods, it was Zena Goldman, Cadix Herrera, Greta McLean, Nico Alexandro, Pablo Hernandez. I think the fact that it was a group mural speaks to the fact that this movement is a coalition of voices that is so strong in the fact that they are including all of these different people and that the artwork itself, not only is it a public work of art so that it is open and available to anyone who wants to see it safely, it was produced by a group, right? It's not sort of this, I have this ego of this is me and, only I alone have a voice. It is that these artists figured out a way for all of them to come together to recognize this person as a social justice hero. One of the artists says, I wanted to present George Floyd not as a martyr, but as a hero. But, and certainly his image has been one that has been a aspirational image that people have used to, keep up what is a really exhausting fight. At a moment that everybody was already exhausted, this there was this call to stand up for injustice, and his image became one that was used. I think of Andres Guzman, who's a Minneapolis artist, produced the image that a lot of folks saw on social media that then, you know, a lot of artists reacted to and used. And I think that, you know, seeing George Floyd's face, I think of Miri Villard in Duluth did an incredibly powerful mural as part of the Clayton Jackson McGee Memorial anniversary. So the Clayton Jackson McGee, the horrific murder, was 100 years ago this summer, and Miri Villard did a mural of three. It was a three-panel mural, and it's at the Center for Diversity at UMD. But for this summer, it was located at the Clayton Jackson McGee Memorial. But it was George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and a fist, and it had names of other folks who were unjustly killed. And it was very much, again, a participatory mural. So I feel like art played an incredibly important role, and still to this day is playing an important role in how we are processing, how we are coming together, and how we are giving voice to people and helping folks stand up against injustice.
Annie, let me ask you something that occurred to me as you were talking about this. Frequently, when we talk about group projects in art, especially, I guess, if the idea comes about initially, you know, that a group of people are going to participate, immediately there's a sarcastic little voice in the back of our heads that says, oh, it's going to be done by committee. And yet, right, here was a group project that sprang up somehow with, it's like all of the people involved having the same mind, the same heart. Can you talk about what made the difference in this instance?
I think it's the, you know, I don't exactly know, but I think that we can ask those artists and look to those artists, because I think it demonstrates a need for us to be able to listen to these other ideas, listen to and include people in the process, whatever that process is. We need to look to these movements and the artists of these movements to figure out how to do that, because we're at a pretty important crossroads where we need to figure out how we do things by committee. How do we, you know, make decisions that has work that we can all celebrate? Because really, that mural is stunning. And I think that it was, you know, that there was an understanding that there was something bigger than the individual artists themselves, right? That they were working towards something that was bigger than their own particular voice. And they trusted each other, and that they trusted each other to do right by each other. So I think, you know, I certainly don't have the answer, and I think it's listening to those artists and to try and figure it out. So listen to people who maybe have done these projects, and certainly listening is something that we can all do a little bit better.
Annie, a lot to think about, and a lot to Google. I guess I want to go back now. I have an image of the mural in my mind, but now I want to go back and I want to look at an actual photograph of it. I want to look at some of these images that you've talked about again, and the idea of listening to the artists of the movement. Sometimes it's easy to get sidetracked by angry voices, especially if you suspect they might be directed at you. But the artists of movements, frequently it's easier to digest somehow the way the perhaps the same message is being presented, but it's somehow easier to use that maybe as an entry point into some new ideas.
There's I sent over a link to you, Lisa, that has a lot of different artists' responses, and the Smithsonian has recognized the importance of this, and that's where the particular article, I mean, there's certainly tons of articles and tons of Google pathways you can go down, but I think that it's important that this institution like Smithsonian is recognizing that that these works of public art are so incredibly important. And I think of like Andres Guzman's image that he did right after he did as a copyright, a fair use copyright. So he said, you know, people can take this for the cause. So I think that there's some interesting things around the ownership of images and the relinquishing of those images to people and artists who are using it in the interest of the cause.
Exactly. This whole what is Creative Commons? We pay a lot of attention to that, of course, here at KUMD, because as we look for ways to illustrate stories on our web post, we have to be very careful, obviously, that we're not helping ourselves to copyrighted images in many instances. I just opened up the article here from the Smithsonian magazine, and KUMD, of course, is not authorized to use images from the LA Times or Getty Images. And so when artists, photographers do choose to make their work available and say, go ahead, plaster it all over social media, that is something that I want to do, it is different. They're giving up something significant in order to gain something significant, I guess.
Absolutely. Yes.
Interesting.
Yes,
it's a fascinating conversation. We'll get that link, some images up so that folks can enjoy them. They'll be up on our website at kumd.org a little bit later this morning. Annie, have a marvelous, marvelous day. Go again and talk to your boys about their future in crop art, and we'll talk again in a week, all right?
Thanks, Lisa. Take care.
Annie Dugan, our host for Where's Art, a regular feature of Mondays right here on Northland Morning.